years ago, I emailed today's guest and asked her if she would be my first guest on Accepted's brand new podcast. We had no track record as a podcast. There were no stats to cite. And I had never done a recorded interview for a podcast or the radio or anything like that in my life. I must admit, I was more than a little concerned that our guest would say, no thanks. In fact, I had several backup invitations ready to extend. Fortunately, she said yes, and now, almost exactly 2 years later, our episodes for a wide variety of shows have been downloaded over 21,000 times, and Admissions Straight Talk went from being a sometime podcast to a biweekly show to a weekly podcast. Welcome to Admissions Straight Talk. This is the 53rd episode. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. And we're going to learn more about our guest and the organization that she has headed for approximately 12 years in just a minute. Right now, I want to encourage any of you considering an application to business school to check out a couple of webinars I have given in the last 2 months. The recordings are now available on demand. Actually, one recording is of yesterday's webinar, and that will take a few days to post, but we can notify you of its availability. In any case, the two webinars are Get Accepted in 2015, 7 Steps to a Successful MBA Application, the name says it all, and the other one, The Secret to MBA Acceptance, and I can't tell you the secret or you have no reason to watch the webinar, so just go to the page that I'm going to link to and you can find out what the secret is. I'll include links in the show notes to both these webinars, and you can find the show notes after the show at info.accepted.com/53. And now I'm delighted to welcome back Alyssa Ellis Sangster, the executive director of the Forte Foundation, and as I said a few minutes ago, the inaugural guest on Admissions Straight Talk just over 2 years ago. That show was posted on March 29th, 2012. Alyssa is the founding and current executive director at Forte. Prior to joining Forte, she was the assistant dean and director of the MBA program at the McComb School of Business. And she was also director of alumni relations and assistant director of the Mays School MBA program at Texas A&M, which is where she earned her own MBA. Now, since the landmark Catalyst Survey on Women in the MBA, Gateway to Opportunity, Alyssa has guided Forte through more than a decade of enormous growth. In fact, over the last 10-plus years, Forte has influenced 50,000 women, hosted 19,000 women at Forte forums, contributed to an increase in women's enrollment in MBA programs from 28 to 34%, and offered $45 million in scholarships to 2,300-plus recipients as part of the Forte Fellows Program. It has also grown its reach and is now helping women in college who may want to enter the world of business, as well as women post-MBA, offering resources, advice, and a professional network. Enough from me. Alyssa, thank you once again for joining me on Admissions Straight Talk. Welcome.
Thanks, Linda. Happy to be here. And I don't think we have to cover anything else. I think you did a great job of
it. Well, I got a few questions ready for you. So, I don't know. Okay. All right. In the last show, we talked a lot about the origins of Forte, and since I doubt the origins have changed any in the last 2 years, I'm not going to ask about them this time. I will ask you, what developments in the last 2 years are you most excited about?
That's great. I think we've had a number of new programs that we've brought on board that I think are really influential and great experiences for women and really kind of moving the needle on their expectations and their perceptions of business careers and also business education. The first one is our C2B conference, and that's actually coming up this week in San Francisco. We have about 75 college women that are going to go through that program. We had about 100 in New York last week. Mm-hmm. And the goal of that program, which is underwritten by the City Foundation, is to really open the eyes of women in multiple types of undergraduate majors, from STEM majors to liberal arts to business majors, and to really help them understand what being a part of a business as an organization feels like. And we do that through a computer-generated simulation, and they're placed into teams. They have coaches for the day. They do a bit of professional development, and inspirational role models are there, and then we go into this computer-generated simulation that allows them to really make decisions in a real-time environment about growing and building a business. And it's amazing, the end of that, what those women experience and how they kind of connect the dots between their undergraduate major and possibly what they might want to do as a future career in business. So that was really our effort to get in there with those sophomores in college and to help them understand business, which can sometimes be a bit of it's not as always as clear-cut and straightforward from their perspective. Unless you've been in the business world, you don't always know what the difference is between marketing and finance and consumer packaged goods and all those that we use very readily. So that's one. And then the second one is our MBA launch program that started last year, and it was a pilot year. And this year we started the second inaugural class, and we are very excited about this 10-month curriculum that walks women through the MBA application process, addresses all of their fears and concerns that they have involved in that process, and really gives them the support and the hands-on access that they need in order to successfully complete an MBA application and to really get into the school of their choice. And we really are thrilled with the response to that. And one of the things that actually just launched is the MBA launch on demand. So you're able to actually go online and participate in it virtually. If you missed the kickoff events in the regional areas, you can actually do your own self-paced MBA launch on demand course. So those are two things I think that have really built out the Forte offerings this past couple of years.
Great. Now, I want to ask about MBA launch, but before we go there, I want to talk for a minute about this, the C to B program. And I just interviewed somebody who's specifically involved in helping people, not necessarily women, move from academic careers into careers outside of academics, specifically PhDs, because the job market for PhDs right now is dismal. And she was talking about the prejudice against business, if you will, specifically in the liberal arts and humanities. Are you dealing with that at all when you're dealing with the C2B program, or is it pretty much self-selecting, or do you feel that that exists? Maybe I'm making an assumption here that doesn't.
I don't know. I do think it exists, and I think there are certain campuses where that's definitely the predominant thought on business, that it's not the way you want to go, that you're selling yourself out if you end up in business, that we're here really to be kind of loyal to the arts and humanities. And I think, though, that for us, what we found is that many of those liberal arts students are looking for that path, and that everyone who pursues a degree in liberal arts, which is a large number of men and women across the country and world, are not always looking to pursue that as their long-time career path. And there are such great skills that you learn as a liberal arts student and such interests that you develop that are so applicable to what's going on in the business world. And honestly, with an MBA, you can do so many different types of careers that you aren't necessarily signing up to go work on Wall Street or signing up to go work in corporate America just because you think an MBA might be something you're interested in with your liberal arts background. So we do address that, and we really try to showcase women who have made those choices from a liberal arts degree and what that path or journey looks like. And I just met with someone today who was explaining to me how her passion for what she wants to do is so critical in her job selection process, and that even though she has an MBA, she's well-versed in business, she's been in a business environment her entire career, marrying those two things is so important to her. And I think we hear that a lot from women. So I think showcasing women who have been able to successfully do that or make that leap from a liberal arts background into business and who are very passionate and excited about what they're doing, that's what we try to showcase. And we don't think it's everybody's path, but we want liberal arts women to understand there is a place and a role for them in business.
Well, you're not necessarily selling your soul by going into business.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I was a political science major as an undergrad, and I went
major here. So.
Okay. So yes, kindred souls.
Right.
And when I went to school, it was right after the Vietnam War era, and business was a dirty term on campus. There was no question about it, especially in political science. It wasn't, forget it.
Right.
But I think one of the sad realities, certainly when I was growing up or when I was in college, and I even mentioned this in the show yesterday, was that options were defined so narrowly. And the truth is that in the professional world, not just the business world, the professional world at large, there are so many options.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many options. There's so many different ways to combine skill sets. And of course, one of the things that you normally get in liberal arts is good writing skills, or you should get, is good writing skills.
Right.
I think a type of qualitative analysis. Not ignoring data, but maybe looking at things from a more holistic perspective, or at least taking into mm-hmm. account non-quantitative, non-tangibles, is something that can be very, very helpful in all kinds of situations,
right.
including the business world.
Right. There's like a story about parents who can explain what their children do, and I think it really speaks to the point of what was popular in Vietnam, what happened in the 80s in business, where it was just the height of popularity. And then, you know, as we've moved forward into this digital world, so often parents don't even know what it is their children are actually doing for professional careers, and
sure.
the kids can't explain it to them. And so you're right, there's such niche opportunities available. You know, back when my parents were choosing, it was be a teacher, be an
right.
engineer. You know, there were such
lawyer, doctor,
career
right.
paths. Right. And so parents have to, and it's one of the things we deal with often is helping women explain and help their families know, you know, what is it I'm trying to do? What are those options I have out there? And helping parents understand that their child doesn't have to be a doctor, a lawyer, in order to be successful and passionate and excited about their career path. And so that's, you know, it's a concern, I think, for us in getting more women into business.
Right. I think it's particularly true. I mean, I think on some level, businesses see, you know, you have all the excitement around the startups, et cetera. But I think for immigrant parents, it's particularly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the child of immigrants. To see beyond the big name professions, you know, that I've typically been the route up the social ladder in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? Absolutely. Immigrants and I think underrepresented minorities fall in that
yeah.
same category.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True. Now, I have been involved a bit in MBA launch, and there's now also virtual yes. MBA launch. And I think MBA launch is a fantastic program. Kudos yes. to you and to Forte for setting it up and doing it. I think it's wonderful. Now, is virtual MBA launch the second program that you were describing to me a minute ago, and can you tell us a little bit more about these programs?
Sure. So there's the live MBA launch, which we started a year ago in our first class of three pilot cities. About 120, 130 women went through that program. And then this year we added three cities and grew the program. I think we're close to 300 going through the live launch this year. But what we added as a new component is for those women who are either not in one of the regional areas where we're offering the live version, they can now access the virtual launch through our website. And it basically is the components that make up all of the live launch series, the webinars, and all of your mentoring and everything that goes through our online platform. But the only thing you don't have is that one-day kickoff to really experience that with the other women who are going through the program in your regional area. But you still have a coach, and you still have a support team and a cohort, and you still have access to all of the webinars. You just do it at a self-paced, in a self-paced way versus a calendar that we've set aside for you. So the goal is just to increase the ability for more women to participate in this, even if they're not in that regional area where we're launching it.
And so they would have access, like, to the Forte MBA launch group. They would have all the networking,
mm-hmm.
except for, other than the physical, geographically based networking opportunities, they have everything else?
Yes.
And
yes.
and there's a fee for both these programs, right?
Right. There's a fee for, I believe it's $500 for the live version and $350 for the on-demand.
Great. Okay. Now, on the Forte website, I saw a stat that Forte has reached approximately 5,000 college women, including STEM and liberal arts majors. And I guess this is what we were talking about. This is a C2B program that you started off with. Is Forte branching out from its prior and very specific business focus, or is it simply reaching out to women coming from different fields earlier in the professional path who might be considering a business, a profession rather, in business?
It is. It's an expansion. In the past, we've had career labs on college campuses and where we had our partner schools working with us to deliver an event on their campus for undergraduate women, and it would be kind of an evening event. And what we found is the more we did that, and we probably did that for 5 or 6 years, was there was really this interest from our corporate partners as well as our school partners to dig in a little bit deeper and to do something that was a bit more interactive and experiential for the women. And that's what where we bore, I guess, how the C2B was born. I'm trying to say that correctly. The point as we went forward with planning for that was to give them a richer experience and to really let them have a hands-on experience of what being in business was like. And to do it as early in the pipeline, as possible.
And you said it's a simulation. It's like a computer. I mean, it sounded really cool when you were describing it a minute ago.
It is. It's a customized simulation, and they basically go in and they enter the decisions they make, and they're presented with issues or challenges, and then as a team, they have to make those choices, enter those choices, and then they get results back, and their coaches are there to help them kind of guide through that decision-making process. But they get a lot of data fed back to them in order to make that next decision. And it, at the end of the day, they're able to stand up and present on their findings and talk more about, what their learnings were, why they made the decisions they made that they made. It gives them some experience in standing up in front of an audience and presenting. And so it's a really challenging day for them. It's very intensive, and it's a very, exclusive group that's been recruited in. They have to apply. It's very diverse. It's just an amazing access point for us, and it's a great way for them to actually have, a little bit to gather information about business from a broader perspective. There are many of our corporate partners who go onto college campuses and do one-day events maybe for financial services, or they invite those college women. They have sophomore programs where they bring them in and they give them internship experiences, but it's going to be more specific to that company and that industry. And so what we're trying to do is really help them understand business as a whole. And for us, we think that's a critical point, because the further they get or the closer they get to graduation, without having heard that message, the less likely it is that they're going to take their GMAT before they graduate, that they're going to start thinking about business school. And the guys are thinking about it, and we want the women to start thinking about it too. And it really helps tee them up for those steps and making those plans if they get a little exposure to business earlier.
Right. Okay. And I mean, it sounds like an amazing program. What kind of feedback? I mean, do the women say this really opened my eyes to a potential career path? Are they a little bit more withdrawn? I mean, or what kind of feedback?
I think what we've seen is that the young women. One example is an engineer who stood up and just said that. She had no idea all of the things she was learning in the classroom and what's important to the engineers in order to be successful is very different to what is successful in a business organization. And she said, so it really helped her kind of connect the dots between, what she was doing, why she was doing it as an engineer, but how that was going to add value to an organization long term and what her decisions as an engineer, how that was going to make that impact. And so she really did connect the dots. And I think we heard, one, women are just excited to be in a room with a large group of highly motivated, successful, interesting women. They loved the interaction with the professionals, and they really liked being a part of something that Forte was offering. And so it's a really strong connected group, and we wanted to have more of those kinds of touch points along the pipeline, not just with our Forte Fellows, but with college women, with professional women. And as we've moved forward over these last few years, that's been a real goal, is to drive that kind of one-on-one personal interaction with the organization. Because we are virtual and we are servicing women, you know, across the globe, it's hard to say, oh, we're going to have a happy hour, everybody get together in Paris next week. It's, you know, it's not easy. So trying to have some of those, you know, a layer of our audience really have that connection was important.
Okay. Now, what do you believe are the biggest challenges facing young women evaluating whether business is the appropriate career for them? Have those challenges changed since 2001 and that catalyst survey that catalyzed Forte?
Exactly. I think the issues are still relatively the same, but there is so much more attention being paid to the conversation than there was a decade ago. You know, it's just a very common conversation in the press. You read about it a lot, the Sheryl Sandbergs of the world, the Sally Krawcheck's of the world. Yeah. I mean, there are people out there speaking to this. Gina Davis is really approaching it from a media perspective. I think Hillary Clinton has taken on from a political perspective. So there's so many voices out there promoting it from young women all the way up to getting more women, you know, senior women on corporate boards, which is also a big topic these days. And I think the challenge now is that women are majority of undergraduates, but sometimes what gets lost in the shuffle is they aren't the majority at business school, and they aren't the majority when you start looking at the quantitative majors like finance and MIS. They are represented in the same kind of numbers that they are in MBA programs, so it's more like 35%. So those still are opportunities, I think, at the undergraduate level. To have more conversations with, you know, with women about why it's important that we have more women in those fields, especially when it comes to business leadership and getting the right experiences and exposure throughout your career to be able to really rise up into those corporate ranks and into the business leadership positions that they aspire to.
Okay, great. How does Forte help women post MBA? Because I mean, one thing you've done over time is you've definitely expanded kind of longitudinally. Mm-hmm. Initially, it was focused on getting women into business school. Now you're in the colleges, you're on the college campuses with undergrads, but you're also working with women post-MBA. So what do you offer women at that stage?
We work with our corporate partners to engage with the women who work for them, and we also offer a premium membership that gives women access to a webinar series that we do. And this is a monthly webinar series. Last month, we had our record-setting enrollment of 1,001.
Wow.
For a webinar, and that's we were so excited by that. And
that's very exciting.
Yes. It was, typically about 350 to 500 will sign up, and, you know, it varies. But it was a great, it's a great series, and it's been very consistent over the last 3 years. We bring in authors and noted experts, and they talk about very relevant topics for professional women. So anything from, dealing with negative feedback to negotiations to how successful people do things differently. We have Heidi Grant Halverson actually spoke in New York, and she's going to be with us in Boston for a live event, and she's also done a webinar for us. So we've tried to build out the very strong webinar series where our corporate sponsors, their women's networks, are able to communicate about these webinars and then actually use them as conversation starters at their events, or have everybody watch it and do a lunch and learn. So it's given them support and programming that they may not be able to deliver on a regular basis themselves. But it gives them, you know, that information that they can still talk about and share with their employees. So that's our primary way. We have a couple of other newsletters and things that go out to that professional audience. Our Smart Brief, which kind of curates a list of the hot articles and topics around women in business and women in business leadership, and it feeds that out on a monthly basis, and it's always chock full of interesting stories and anecdotes, so I think a lot of people really enjoy receiving that from Forte. So that's one series for professional women, and the other piece that we're very actively involved in is identifying women at corporate board seats, and we have partnered with the Global Board Ready Women List. That's a group of consortium of business schools and organizations across Europe and the U.S. and many other countries that are looking at identifying those women who are in our like our school alumni ranks who are ready and willing and interested to be on a corporate board but may have not had a platform to kind of announce that. And it puts them into this LinkedIn database, and the executive search firms are able to go in there and access that. So we've been working heavily over the last couple of years to identify women with all of our business school partners who are interested in being in that database. So that's an ongoing concern and something that we're, you know, we think is very important. It's addressing one piece of the puzzle. It's not addressing the whole puzzle, but at least it takes care of the supply side.
Right. And you also post job opportunities, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have job opportunities. We have you can upload your resume into our database. Our companies and are always searching, looking for resumes to review, and then also they post their jobs, and we can shoot that out to women in our database to let them know through our job alert when something is open that might be of interest to them.
Okay. What is the Forte Fellows Program, and how does one participate in it? Let's say there's an applicant, an MBA applicant, who's interested in it.
Sure. So the Forte Fellows Program is a partnership we have with our business schools, and each of the business schools, as a part of them being a member of Forte, has agreed to give out at least two fellowships per year of significance. And so those are anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 awards that they're giving out, and most of our schools are giving out more than two. As a result, I know you mentioned the numbers earlier. We have about 2,300 women who are Forte Fellows or fellow alums. They started, the first class was in 2005, and so that group from the 2005 class forward, they have given out about $45 million in scholarships to support women getting their MBA. Mm-hmm. So it's quite significant. It is a merit-based process, and so the school selects those scholars or those fellows to receive the scholarships through their admissions process. Some of them might have an essay that they want you to write, but they kind of outline that for you in the admission process. And then it really is a recruiting scholarship. So they're using those scholarships to attract the best and brightest women that they can into their program. And as a result, I think this past fall, we enrolled very close to 500 women across the Forte sponsor schools into that Forte Fellows program. So it's, you know, the first class was 35, and now we're at 500, which is remarkable and exciting and really great. We're so thrilled about that.
Does anybody find it ironic that they are Forte Fellows? Or is that just me?
We like the alliteration and
okay.
Okay. The gender issue there.
It's all right.
Right.
How do Forte forums differ from other pre-MBA conferences like the MBA Tour or World MBA Tour or MBA Access, or I'm sure you can list them as well as I can?
Sure. I think in a lot of ways they're similar just because of the setup and the way they're organized. I think that we often hear that we have a really robust group of schools in attendance, and so sometimes we have men show up who are more interested in the Forte roster of schools than some of the others, which is always interesting. But we I think what it provides for women specifically is to really get a chance to have those conversations that are important to women and to not feel uncomfortable about that because everybody's there talking about it, and so they don't need to feel as though some of the concerns they have might not be relevant because the audience is mixed gender. I think different topics come out. When I've moderated discussions in a mixed gender group, the questions and the issues that arise are very, very different than when I've moderated them at the Forte events with all the women. The other challenge can sometimes be a woman at another event might be one person on a panel. So at a Forte event, the panel is all women, so you're going to hear multiple perspectives from different industries, all from a female point of view. And I think it's empowering. I think that the other thing we hear is women walk in and they look around and they had no idea this many women were out there thinking about doing the same thing they were. And that's really good for women's motivation and for their confidence to know that there are other women out there just like them. So often they're siloed in an organization and feeling kind of alone, and this gives them that kind of group support.
What are some of the conversations that tend to occur at Forte events that don't tend to occur in mixed gender events?
I mean, some of the typical ones that you would think, just in terms of balance, and getting ahead in a male-dominated industry. What are the challenges? How did you make those decisions as a woman? Really digging into kind of the process of it more than just the outcomes, and really wanting to understand the journey. And I think that's more typical of women. It's been kind of one of our mantras as we've grown our organization, is really showing women's stories and how they achieved what they achieved, but not just focusing on kind of where they are now, because I think women really like to learn from other women, and it helps them envision themselves in the same position if they can hear a little bit more about how those women made those choices and got to where they are. So I think we spend a little bit more time on that maybe than you would in a mixed gender group.
Sounds good. Now, there's been a lot of talk, maybe even debate, about the value of the MBA specifically for entrepreneurs. There have also been those who say that they didn't feel it was worth the time and money, although most survey data shows the opposite, to get an MBA. And Forte practically started with events focused on the MBA value proposition. At least that's how I remember it. Do you feel that proposition has eroded in the last decade? And for those who want to pursue a career in business and don't have an MBA, is the MBA still valuable?
It's a personal decision for sure. And I guess my upfront answer is no. I don't think it's diminished. I don't think it's eroded. I think that it is still a very powerful degree, and it opens so many doors that are just basically not openable without that degree. So, again, depending on where you're headed, what you want to do, it may or may not be 10 times more valuable, or it may or may not be 5 times more valuable. I doubt you're going to invest 2 years of your life with this MBA group that your fellow students and walk out the other end of the door saying it was a waste of time. I think that the data definitely shows differently. I think that what we hear back from men and women is a high satisfaction with the degree. And what we hear from the women – I'm sorry?
I said extraordinarily high, actually. If you look at the GMEC data, it's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And I think the anecdotal feedback we get at all of the Forte events is that for women, it is extremely powerful in terms of building their confidence, in terms of opening up doors, being able to leverage that MBA experience with your classmates, being able to access alumni, and having the opportunities to engage with companies that they would not have seen previously. And it's very difficult to make those career transitions without some kind of platform, and the MBA is a great platform for that. We had an entrepreneur at our closing session of our conference last year who said she basically walked in the door of her business school and took every single opportunity she could over a two-year period to grow and build a business that she wanted to launch upon graduation. Mm-hmm. She didn't worry about her grades. She didn't worry about her social status. I mean, she obviously had some fun, but she really took every single opportunity to leverage that experience and build a business. And she's very successful in the entrepreneurial world. And I think it's a lesson to anybody who says being an entrepreneur, that getting an MBA is not a good opportunity for launching a business. If you approach it with the right mindset and you and you go in there with the idea that this is, you're going to absorb every single thing you can out of it, then it will be successful. I mean, you will be successful in having that kind of experience. So I'm a big proponent, and I think that I've seen it change lives. I've seen opportunities arise. Everything, you know, you can't, it's not, nothing's 100% guaranteed, right?
Of course.
But I think, you know, the women that I have seen go through those programs only say good things about where they ended up after that.
Right. One of the more interesting interviews I've done, and I've done lots of them, I've really enjoyed this, was with the founders of Common Bond. And they happen to be men. I think there's also one woman, but she wasn't on the call. And one of them, before getting to Wharton, had worked, I think, for American Express for 6 years, and the other one had worked for, I think it was McKinsey and J.P. Morgan. I mean, really, really impressive business experience, also graduating from you know, top colleges, undergrad. And then they went to Wharton, and then they founded Common Bond. And I think they, within the first year, you know, raised $100 million. And I mean, you know, a couple of years, raised $100 million in funding. They're looking to raise another $900 million to get it up to a billion. I mean, it's just an incredible story. And I asked them, I said, do you feel your MBA was helpful to you? Or are you glad you did the MBA? And I was somewhat surprised because they were more experienced quantitatively, and their experience was extraordinarily rich qualitatively. And they both said that they didn't see how they could have done this without the MBA. Yeah, it was very impressive. And it was one of the things that I took away. But of course, and then there, less anecdotally, you do have the stats, whether it's from Forbes or from GMAC or a host of different sources that support that. But I think it also depends on where you're starting from and what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it does, absolutely.
And this is, the next question is the only question that is a repeat question from our first interview. And that is, do you have any last words of advice for those considering applying for an MBA next year or later?
I wonder what I said 2 years ago. my advice to those applying, I think, hold the course is my advice these days. And it's, you know, do your research, be extremely clear about what you're trying to get out of this experience. And I think, you know, as we've just been saying, that's such a critical part of your satisfaction with the whole experience, making that wise choice as to which business school to attend, making sure your end goal is in sight and that you know what you're trying to accomplish. Again, that's going to change and morph, but that you have some expectation of what that outcome is going to be, and that you align all of your decisions leading up to that admission, you know, behind that, so that you end up at a school that's going to help connect you with the right opportunities, and that you end up with the classmates that are going to challenge you and motivate you. And, you know, depending on what that outcome is you want, that you've done the homework that you need to do in order to have all of that kind of line up. So, I just think that I still am a big proponent of making sure that the school you choose, you've chosen it for the right reasons. And I think sometimes there's still students out there that are not, you know, they just haven't done all of the research they need to do. They might make the decision a bit more on a whim.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. That actually is going to be one of the big topics I'm discussing at the webinar I'm giving at the end of the month. But I couldn't agree with you more, that if you start with a thoughtful goal, a realistic, thoughtful, relevant goal, then that will guide you through the application process on campus, really all the way. It doesn't mean you have to be rigid in following it. It just means you have direction. You should certainly take advantage of opportunities as they emerge. Now, Alyssa, I think we're almost out of time. Where can listeners learn more about your work and all the wonderful programs offered by Forte?
They can go to our website at www.fortefoundation.org. And there's a number of programs coming up. I know we have a couple of webinars that are going to be launching. We have our MBA Women's Leadership Conference in Los Angeles in June, June 20th and 21st.
Oh, all right.
So anybody out there that's, in your neck of the woods.
That's right.
That's out there, you know, applying right now or going through the process and thinking they're going to be enrolling this fall, they would, you know, check that out if they're interested in attending.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much for being here and joining me today. If you're game, I promise we'll do this again. I don't know if we'll wait 2 years. Maybe we'll do it faster, but I'm sure I want to hear the latest and greatest in developments from Forte, because I'm sure that there's all kinds of things that are cooking and on the way. We'll also include a link.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll definitely do it again. We'll also include a link in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/53. both to the Forte Foundation and to the webinars I mentioned earlier. Listener, thank you too for joining me for our 53rd episode. If you found this episode valuable, please share your feedback. 5-star reviews on iTunes are particularly welcome. You can leave any kind of feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing linda@exhibit.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber and you don't want to miss future shows, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.